This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 21st of October, 1955. The title of this lecture is Native State and Postulates 1, 2, 3, 4. This lecture is 60 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
How are you this morning? It's October 21st, first morning lecture, 1955, and we are very interested this morning in talking about the Native State, first postulate, second postulate, third postulate, fourth postulate material. In other words, this is a lecture on not knowingness. And because very few people seem to have gotten this through their thick skulls, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, as very few people seem to have grasped the situation entirely, I take this opportunity to pound it into your thick skull, to give you better material on this. Undoubtedly, I was at fault, you numbskulls. Excuse me. But we had better look at this, and we had better change its auditing command from the auditing command I gave you in the first lecture for the following reason. Axiom 53, a stable datum is necessary to the alignment of data, and where an individual has a stable datum, he then accumulates other data and so aligns and stabilizes confusions. Energy mass confusions, as found in the bank, are likewise stabilized by the presence of a stable datum. An energy confusion in the bank, which is to say, particles of energy in masses, as they exist around people's foreheads and chins and backs and feet and so on, are actually condensed confusions. And when we take the stable datum out of it, they go into action and bring upon an actual physical confusion. That is to say, a randomity of particles which is usually too high for the preclear to tolerate at that state of case. For if they hadn't been too high to tolerate, he probably wouldn't have had a stable datum in the middle of them. See? He was trying to understand something one way or the other, and he dreamed up a stable datum and got an alignment on it. Well, now, the confusion itself could be said to be an enormous number of don't-knows. And these don't-knows form themselves, eventually, a condensation. And these don't-knows become the confusion. Here's a case of mass becoming mass. The postulate, don't-know, becomes a numerous conglomeration of particles which become solid, which become masses. And every particle there is more or less governed by the material I don't know. Now, in view of the fact that the material is governed by these postulates, there are then a considerable number of data stacked here, and these, remember, are the data which press against people's heads and back of their necks and probably go to make up their stomachs and so forth. And those are postulates. Therefore, I don't know itself is a datum. And in the middle of all this, I don't know, they get a stable datum of one kind or another, such as the doctor knows. And they kind of stabilize the whole thing on the basis the doctor knows what to do about this. When they find out with a rude shock that he doesn't, it unstabilizes not just the patient or anything, but it unstabilizes an energy mass. I mean, this thing is a physical thing. Now they say all of a sudden the doctor doesn't know. And the stable datum, or the known, then is brought over into the rank of the unknown, and we have added an I don't know to a top-heavy situation, and the confusion starts into action. Similarly, oddly enough, if we were to pull I don't know, that is to say, if we were to start shaking up the postulate I don't know in the bank, one way or the other, it would re-stimulate all these particles. See, every particle there, more or less, really has an I don't know connected with it one way or the other. And therefore, and thereby, a confusion again is put into action. You understand that the confusion exists, and that the confusion existed, and that the confusion is a confusion, and it's a physical confusion. You start to take apart masses, you start to get physical confusions. So the I don't know is dislocated or re-stimulated, and we get the mass going into action. The stable datum, which is holding the I don't knows back, you might say, gets deleted or upset or suppressed. It's made to lack conviction. And again, we get this mass going into action. So therefore, there are two ways in which we could bring action in upon the preclear. And one of those ways would be to re-stimulate the tremendous number of I don't knows in this bank, in these energy masses, these ridges, facsimiles, any other kind of energy mass he has. And the other way would be to take the props out from underneath it by taking its stable datum out from under it, by invalidating it, by saying it's no good, by doing something or other with it, you see. Here is the fact behind the, quote, miracle cure, unquote. Somebody throws a stable datum into the confusion of somebody's bank, which sticks and aligns the remainder of the data. See? He says, God bless you, my son. And the fellow says, what do you know? God does love me after all. Stability. See? It's actually, though, a rather mechanical thing in its operation. The fellow says, I don't know anything about God. God is after me, probably. Who knows? I don't know. One thing I don't know about is God. God is an unknown, and he's never walked up to me, and he's unknown, and so on. And this kind of stuff has eventually gotten to be a pretty solid mass, you see. Somebody comes along and says, God forgives you, and God loves you. He believes this fellow, you know. And he says, But the funny part of it is he didn't throw away all of the I don't knows. What he did was put a stable datum in their place. Now, he didn't displace any of them, really. He just put a stable datum there, and the stable datum was adequate to restrain all these I don't knows. Follow me? All right, if this is the case, you upset a fellow's postulates, no matter how irrational, when they are his stable data, the data on which he's operating, we upset those postulates, and we will get a recurrence of confusion. Now, this confusion may manifest itself as pain or other unpleasant sensations. But it, nevertheless, gets unsettled when we knock out somebody's most cherished preconceived notions. Now, the less stable data he is capable of receiving, the greater the liability of knocking out one of these stable data. See, the less he's likely to invent one or replace one or receive one by communication, the more and more likely the individual is to hang on to, grip, press to the bosom, his existing stable data, and the more confusion that stable data is holding back accordingly. Because, of course, the less he communicates, the less ideas he's interchanging and handling. So, of course, he's getting more and more confusion and probably less and less stable data, one way or the other. You're going out of communication, and the next thing you know, why, you come along as an auditor, and you say, this is a nice boy, there's nothing wrong with this fellow. He's perfectly sane, he'd only been 12 years in the spin bin, and of course, you don't know about that either, but he walks, you know, and he talks, and he seems rational most of the time, except he doesn't quite answer your questions. And you say, well, that's fine. You seat him in the auditing chair. And he says, well, of course, nothing can be done about insanity. That's the one thing I do know. And you chucklehead, you say to him, well, now, yes, I can do something about your insanity. And he sits there and spins in front of your eyes. Now, how could this be, you see? How could this be? You see, you wouldn't have any real way of knowing. You just reach forward with your big toe and kick the stable datum out from underneath the bank, you see? He's already badly out of communication. You remove this stable datum. Ollie, I don't know, started into a confusion, and believe me, a whirling dervish on a busy religious day is idle compared to one of these confusion areas when it starts into action. And so he sits there and spins, and the word spin is very aptly used. Very apt. It is a displacement, chronic, of I don't knows. That's all. This is chronically displaced in I don't knows in action. All right. How would you, could you possibly tackle this case? Well, the oddity is he's sitting there, and he tells you that nobody can do anything about insanity. Well, of course, the smart thing for you to do would be to change the subject one way or the other. But you don't know it's his stable datum. He said 800 other things, too. This one is the key. How do you handle that sort of thing? You don't evaluate for such pre-clears. It's right in the auditor's code. Now, that is why evaluation on the part of the auditor is bad, and the total mechanic back of it is you disturb the stable data of the pre-clear. And although these do not sound reasonable, rational, or acceptable to you, nevertheless, they may be holding in check a great many unknowns, a far more severe consequence if they ever come unmoored. Got it? All right, this individual has a bunch of I don't knows, I don't knows, I don't knows about his mother. And he has decided that she is the most hateful beast that ever walked the face of earth, that no other woman could possibly have been so evil. And he sits there, maybe he starts to run an engram. It's an actual case, by the way. And he gets halfway through and he says, damn her. You know, it's a prenatal or something of the sort. And the auditor that moment says, oh, she probably meant well. Now, the only thing that's holding the confusion in check is the fact that he has decided he hates her. That's the stable datum on the subject of mother. At least he has come to some kind of a decision or conclusion. He has decided that he hated his mother. All right, so he decided he hated his mother. When did we join the Legion of the I Will Arise Society that demonstrates and demands that every preclear shall honor his father and his mother and his uncles and his aunts? We never joined the society that I know of. We think it's a pretty good thing to honor your father and mother. We think that that's fine. If they run good 8C, anybody would honor them. Get the idea? Well, if they run bad 8C and they have put an awful confusion into the child's life, he at least has eventually been able to get through the morass of Mama loves you, dear. See? Mama means best by you. And his father's, you know, your mother is very fond of you. And the kid is being spun all the time with confusion, and I don't know. And he did have a bedroom once, but this has been turned over to his aunt, and he is now sleeping in the hall. And he had a couple of toys, and they've been given away to the neighbors. And yow, you know, he's in the middle of confusion. He gets up in the morning, and he wants some breakfast, but his mother's gone. And then when she does come back, she scolds him because he wasn't home. You know, and it doesn't make sense in any direction. This terrific amount of confusion going on all the time has got to be balanced with a stable datum about mother. That's all. We don't care what decision he arrives at about his mother, bad, good, or indifferent. Remember that hate is at least on the affinity scale. Don't know isn't. See? So he could come up tone to the point of saying, she is a dog. I hate her. See? Well, he's been able to hold on to this rather groggily, let us say. You know, the society kept saying to him, honor thy father and thy mother. Mother's a real nice. He goes to the movies, and he sees mother in a haloed role. He goes here, and he goes there. He reads a book and so forth of a bygone era, and he finds out that mothers are always perfect and mothers are always wonderful. And when he was a kid, he kept this kind of back by imagining an ideal mother, but mama went too far. And he just couldn't keep up that pretense. And he finally has matched all his confusion, and he's holding it all there just like that by saying, I hate mother. See? Stable data. Now, what would an auditor possibly be doing tampering around anyhow with the preclear's power of decision about his relationships with human beings. He will change them when he can change them. He will change them when he knows better. Don't ever walk up to a small boy standing there with a bad bow and arrow, holding at bay the neighbor's dog, who really does hold at bay because he's been hit two or three times with these bows and arrows. This small boy has, by the way, and incidentally and interestedly, been mauled several times by the neighbor's dog, you see. Big confusion about this subject. And say, you must be nice to animals. Now put away your bow and arrow and go pet the nice big dog. You'll practically spin the kid. He will turn around and look at you as though you have gone mad, at the very least. And if you insist that he be nice to the dog, he's liable to go zip, spin. He's liable to throw a tantrum. He's liable to do the most inexplicable things. But we don't know how much randomity a stable datum of a bow and arrow is holding back. He's saying, I can do something to that dog. That's the postulate, you know? I can do something to him. I can create an effect upon him. There's no other way to create an effect upon him, but I will be able to do something. And we tell him he's got to love thy dogs. Won't work. Child spin. Such activities as these, and I am not pointing my finger at Christianity. Now, some of you probably think I am, but I'm really not pointing my finger at Christianity as the sole source of aberration in our modern society. It is not the sole source of aberration in our modern society. It has many branches, and they do their best, but the point is there are other sources of aberration in this society. I can't lay my hand on them just now, but I know there must be. We overwhelm the individual's stable data, do you see? And each time we overwhelm the stable data by education and duress, not by reason, you understand, but just by thou shalt and thou must, or we will ostracize thee and all that sort of thing, duress, punishment, more confusion, and so forth, the guy just starts to spin before our eyes. Who knows, eventually you become, I don't know, might even become a general or a politician. Might. Fellow might go clean mad. Just under this. Now, the exact mechanism behind it, and I assure you that it's the exact mechanism behind it, is the fact that an enormous number of I don't knows are being stabilized by a stable datum on which other data are aligned. And these I don't knows are matched then by other data. And that is the low-scale picture of a human being. And it doesn't matter how aberrated or how nutty or how insane these stable data may seem, it is crazier to have all these I don't knows on one's head. See? At least the madman has a method in his madness. He's mad, but he isn't spinning and he isn't confused. He knows exactly what he means to do. He must slay the archdeacon. That is the stable datum, and he lives for that moment, you know. He's not confused, remember. He's really not mad. He's just operating on the doggonest stable datum you ever looked at, see? A good stable datum. His life is aligned to this. All of his training, his hopes, his ambitions, the reason he makes any money, and so forth, is all aligned on this stable datum. Of course, it's a mad stable datum. Of course, he is really mad. Or is he? Or is he madness suspended at a low level by an aberrated stable datum? Now, we tell him that he cannot shoot the archdeacon. He must not do it. The archdeacon is really a good man. And we would watch this fellow spin just like that. Now, of course, from the archdeacon's viewpoint, the very best thing to do would be to disturb that stable datum, don't you see? But there are other ways to do it. In other words, the best method of arranging social behavior and conduct is not invalidating somebody's stable data. That is not the best method of social reform. And if too thoroughly attempted, will fill up the insane asylums, so there'll be no room in them for the psychiatrist. Somebody's asked me the other day if psychiatrists were all crazy, and I said, well, as far as I know, most of them are in institutions. And he said, is that right? Psychiatrists shouldn't shoot at a good agent provocateur like me. They just shouldn't shoot at me. Because I'm not interested in them until they start shooting. All right. I don't happen to have any need for stable datum in that direction. They've made enough already. Now, where do we have a process or processes which place a better light on this? If we mustn't knock out or disturb these stable data without getting a worse state of insanity, and by the way, society disturbs these at its peril, the fellow who was only going to shoot the archdeacon, if changed too much and shaken up too much on his stable datum, now starts to kill everybody. See, he doesn't know who he started to kill in the first place, so he just shoots everybody to make sure. You get the idea. I mean, it always goes in some daffy direction like this. It's an unpredictable result because it's a confusion. And what is a confusion but a series of unpredictable postulates which haven't been predicted? All right. Now, our problem here is that our preclear has an enormous number of confusions which are incipient. Let me stress that. They are incipient confusions. And these confusions easily cave in upon him, but are held at bay, you might say, by stable data or confidence in himself, stable data, or by the idea that he can as-is them one way or the other through being, let's say, being an auditor. He knows he gets too confused. He can do something about it. He can at least chew up that piece of confusion, as some auditors do sometimes. A fellow burned himself rather severely not too long ago, through no fault of his own. He lay on the ground running the engram. It's the only thing he could think of to do, you know. He was almost gone, and people kept chattering around him, so he would say at normal intervals, he would say, do not talk in the vicinity of an unconscious person. They were running in more engram than he could run out. He's saying that at intervals, said it all the way to the hospital. They got him to the hospital where they thought, well, this boy will kick the bucket, and they put him in a hospital room and fortunately left him in silence for a while. He ran the rest of the engram out and cured himself and was sitting on a bed smoking a cigarette when they came back in to dress his burns. Burns were still a mark of a burn, but it was not a severe burn. So, of course, the intern was scolded for being so dramatic about the entry that he made, and you can get the idea. Nobody could accept the fact that a fellow could be wheeled into a room in a horrible state and then run out the engram and 2 or 3, 4 hours later and so forth be in pretty good state. He'd stuffed all kinds of mocked-up burn bodies into himself and he got all these things, you know. All self-audit with no two-way communication, nothing. It should have left him glued all over the time track and it didn't stop. He was, by the way, exteriorized just before the burn and snapped in because of the severity of the burn and got back out again after he run the engram. This sort of thing. Well, now, he operates from a stable datum, doesn't he? He knows he can do something about it. Well, that's the stable datum he's operating from, and every time a preclear comes up and says, well, nothing happened, you know, you're sitting here and I'm doing everything you said except running your commands. nothing happens. Scientology can't create any effect on me. Nothing can create any effect on me. See? And the auditor feels his stable data going wobble, wobble. You get the idea?
And he feels confused at the end of the session and so on. Well, he's just operating on a stable datum which he can rehabilitate and reestablish at any time he wants to. And maybe it'll be a day or so, though, before he feels really back to battery again. But maybe, in the absence of auditing or anything else, maybe he's just riding along on this stable datum. Well, I can do something about it with Scientology, see? Now, of course, there are other stable data, and there are other supporting data, and there are other things that he can have in order to hold this at bay. But there is the first stable datum, confidence. Whether a man is a carpenter or a sailor or something of the sort, he's saying, I can do something about it. That's a stable datum. That's confidence. I can do nothing about it is also a lower order stable datum. It doesn't concern me, you see. Well, that's got death itself at the end of the track. But I can do something about it is that self-confidence which can hold in abeyance a tremendous amount of confusion. See? So that's kind of a highly specialized, stable datum. So that you ask people, what are you going to do about it? Or the proper auditing command, what could you do about that problem? You kind of re-stimulate the stable datum, you see, a little bit. Any latent confidence that he might have, you have just expressed some confidence in him. So you've given him this stable datum again. Got it? And then, because he announces several things he could do about it, no matter how ridiculous, he has more aligned data on the subject, and the confusion tends to damp. You see? That is a very tricky process. You have to know all this about stable data and so forth before you really know exactly why that thing works that way. If you ask him, well, does it really concern you? Or have you ever handled anything like this before? Or almost anything like this, you see, the process wouldn't work. It's what could you do about this is fair, but what are you going to do about it? Of course, this is a little bit more direct. You're expressing confidence in the fact he can. It's a confusion. You believe he shouldn't back up because of it. He really believes this natively, too, or he wouldn't be alive and in front of you. And then he adds to the stable datum, I can do something about this. He adds aligned data of the exact solutions he now dreams up. Follow me? All right. Now, therefore, you see how this handles a present time problem. Present time problem is simply a plus randomity in the person's vicinity. He normally handles a tremendous number of factors. Now he's being asked to handle a tremendous number of factors, some of which are confused. See, when the confusion occurs, you have a present time problem. See, well, actually, the society around him has itself, somewhere or another, disturbed a stable datum or two. And so he's got a confusion. For instance, he's always thought of his wife as a faithful woman. And he's come home, and he has found a man's comb in her purse and a couple of other items that are highly suspicious. Now, his wife might possibly have simply acquired these innocently, but he doesn't know. He wouldn't normally have looked in her purse. He just happened to spill it. You see what happens? My wife is faithful, has a stable datum, you see, against which he balances a great many things, is shaken. So he feels confused about his wife. He just feels confused. But this is a present time problem. It's an unknown datum. Is she really doing something like this? And he notices three or four more things. And he notices that she's not very interested in him. And all this all of a sudden winds up into a disturbance of a considerable amount of don't knows in the bank. For instance, I don't know how long I am going to live, so I'd better have some children, you see, and put something on the track so I can go up the track and pick up a mock-up up the track, you see. And I don't know this and that, and I don't know if there are any other women would ever look at me nicely. And a bunch of I don't knows, they're all held in check by this one, in this one small area, by a stable datum. My wife is faithful to me. Of course, his wife is a sort of a stable datum en masse form, you see. She's a body. She's a terminal. All right. We look this over, however, and we find out the disturbance of any stable datum brings about this, but the addition of data to a stable datum brings about more alignment.
That's cute, isn't it? The fellow has a stable datum. Let's take this fellow who's going to kill the archdeacon. He's still standing over there. And take this fellow, and he's going to shoot the archdeacon.
All right. Let's find out which direction we would make him sane on the subject.
Well, I tell you what, this is a cute method. What we do is we give him all kinds of data about the archdeacon. We make sure that he knows exactly everything the archdeacon does. And we make it possible for him to employ somebody in the archdeacon's household who will give him all sorts of information of a relevant nature, you know, about the archdeacon. We make sure that he can read all about archdeacons and read all about the principles and tenets of the church to which the archdeacon is connected. We give him a great many publications and data on the subject of firearms and optimum firearms. We give him several books on famous assassinations. You get the idea?
Yeah.
First thing you know, he says, to hell with the archdeacon. Why'd he do that? You as-is the remainder of the confusion by aligning data to, I must kill the archdeacon. And pretty soon, I kill the archdeacon is not holding back so many confused I don't knows. See, I don't know the intention of the archdeacon is the first I don't know that caused him to kill or want to kill the archdeacon. So each of these data, more or less, could be said to be holding back numerous I don't knows, and as a result, why, the I don't knows tend to disappear, and finally, the I don't know about the intention of the archdeacon will disappear too, and it'll appear that he's got this thing whipped. We don't know how many people are living on the hot stoves of whipped problems. It's an uncomfortable fact, if you want to face it. How many people are living on the hot stove of confusions, as is, by the acquisition of enormous amounts of aligned data to a stable datum, fully as aberrated as I must kill the archdeacon, but they've simply been as is by a tremendous amount of data. To scrape everything down to the stable datum and to as is everything except the stable datum would bring about this great curiosity. We probably wouldn't be able to find the exact stable datum on which everything else was aligned on any given problem. We probably wouldn't be able to discover this without disturbing the whole pile. We'd know when we had reached the stable datum, the house would fall in on him. See? So we get this inexplicable thing of a fellow going to the movies, and one of the actors says, oh, spare me, Sir Launfal. Do not slay me, I prithee. Guy comes out of the movie spinning. Doesn't make sense. There were about 100,000 words worth of stuff there that he could have listened to. All those hours of entertainment, well, not that many. Certainly 20,000 words of yap-yap had gone on during the play of the movie. And to pick out exactly what phrase it was that threw him into re-stimulation is difficult because it's the one that dived out of sight. We could kind of scan it and work with it and recall it and build it back and so on. But it isn't likely it would heave into view. So here's one of the methods to align data with a stable datum. Now, it doesn't matter whether the person picks up this data, this additional data. You see, it's not bad to align data on a stable datum. As a matter of fact, it might be said to be the sole modus operandi of smooth living. See? You just learn about what you're doing, and you will always have a tremendous amount of aligned data about the situation. Somebody kicks one stable datum out from underneath you, why, you've always got a half a dozen more areas that you've got nicely nailed down, you see. And so on. So one of the things would be to give people a lot of data on the subject of the stable datum itself. You know, I mean, here the fellow's going to kill the archdeacon, and we start giving him these books. Well, it doesn't matter where he got the data from. As a matter of fact, it's better to get the data from somebody else than think it up yourself, because if you thought it up yourself and you know you thought it up yourself, you'll as-is it. And so you'll have a confusion.
All right, we take then the method of education. And education is not a suppressor of the young, an annihilator of youth, if handled on an invalidative basis, without granting an individual permission to think about it himself, can be a murderous proposition. But this is not education. This would be education plus duress. You know? There are schools and schoolmasters that I believe have used duress along with their education. And their people spin. And some of them take rather unruly children and wild young fellows and young girls and so on. And the next thing you know, why, these people are nice ladies and gentlemen and so forth. They learned peculiarly enough. He just let them accumulate the information they seemed to think was necessary to run their lives. He just turned them loose and let them glut themselves, and the next thing you know, they weren't confused anymore, and they were in pretty good shape. You see? Now, the fellow who simply invalidates everyone's stable data and invalidates the rest of it across the boards and feeds the information in under duress never gets a situation of aligned data. You know, the American University plan of education. You cut off the top of a fellow's head and pour in so many facts, you see, so many million facts, and after you poured in so many million facts, you sew the top of his head back on and put a label on his chest and march him out into the society, and then everybody is upset because this fellow doesn't seem to know anything about the subject he's educated in. That's right, he doesn't know anything about it. He's got a memory about it, but a lot of times not. He doesn't know about it. To know, you have to have an aligned series of data. I dare say there are schools in other parts of the world that follow this remarkable plan. I'm sawing off the top of the head, pouring the facts in, and then sewing up the top of the head again and saying that person is educated. The hell he is. He's stuffed. Now, here you have, then, this educational method. You see what it depends on? It does not particularly determine the stable data on which any given individual as a personality is operating. What it does is give him additional data which can align to any kind of a stable data he might care to align it to. We don't tell him, now, this means to you that your aberration is caused by so-and-so and so-and-so and only so-and-so and so-and-so, and this applies to you intimately and solves your entire problem on the 99th dynamic. That's a space opera dynamic, by the way, figured out by a mathematician just 8 miles south of Arcturus. Interesting. An interesting dynamic. It's the 99th inversion on the first dynamic. Fellow thinks he's God, but I know another guy that went up there the other day, and he was talking to him, and this fellow knew he wasn't God. The fellow who was talking to him was. So he knew right away the fellow was wrong. We throw this God complex out the window as a stable datum. We get trouble. Well, we could educate a man very carefully who said, you know, I'm really God. We could educate him very carefully into being God. Do you know why revolutionaries make bad monarchs? They have no aligned data on the subject. All they have is an ambition. I want to be king, therefore my fellow men shall now revolt against the Castel. See? And our fellow men will now revolt and make me king, and after I get to be king, I have an ambition. Boy, does it create a lot of confusion. He has no stable data on the subject. Now we take some fellow who is raised as a prince. He's educated as a prince, one way or the other. And he doesn't really think in very many wild terms. He does all right. Usually just does just fine. And if he has any intelligence to begin with at all. Of course, what destroyed monarchy throughout Europe was breeding too many idiots. And that's about all. We had this character who was still hanging on down in Spain that made the revolution in and Franco possible in Spain and all that confusion and so forth. This guy was for the sparrows. You know, if you had listened very carefully at one ear, you would have been hearing inside, cheep, 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 cheep. He wasn't bright. Practical joker. Remarkable thing. Couldn't rule. He didn't have any stable data on which to align anything. He was a totality of confusion. Well, even so, probably something can be done with him by a smart educator. Now, the Jesuit seems to have been a very smart hombre on this basis. He was a very, very savvy fellow. He turned out an awful lot of successful monarchs throughout the age of the Jesuits. By the way, the current order of Jesuits has its name all over the place, but the actual order of Jesuits was knocked out some time ago. The order of the Jesuits is not now operating in this fashion. But here was an organization that understood this factor very, very well. They could, without damaging the psyche, the individual, or knocking out stable data, they could align new data on the existing stable data with the result that their people were sane. And they made good rulers and good princes and so forth. You got it? Now, given comparable intelligence then, somebody educated or born to be a king would be a far, far better risk than somebody who was born to be a commoner, see? But kings ordinarily made very bad tanners. In fact, there was one fellow that couldn't repair a clock to save his own head. He was even a bad clockmaker, the last king of France. That is, the last king of France. Dolls that were wound up afterwards were probably off of that fellow's clock bench. This fellow, then, that was killed in the French Revolution, he obviously had every opportunity to become a king, but he wasn't smart enough. Was about all it was. He just was not natively clever enough. There is an enormous difference in people, by the way, the amount of intelligence which people exert. And this seems to be a native state thing, right? Native state seems to be native to the individual. Could be, you know. Or it could be a caved in. The degree that an individual has been caved in by, I don't know. Well, we're not trying to say that every Thetan is as smart as every other Thetan. I have a certain feeling that this is not true. I met some Thetans that were singing around and having a good time, and they were awful. They weren't quick. I like a phrase that the Navajo Indian uses, by the way. He has in his language a very interesting phrase, which means enterprising pony. And it even translates kind of smart into English. This pony is an enterprising pony. This pony has enterprise. And they favor these enterprising ponies very highly. And they will take a whole bunch of ponies and they're tied to a hitch rack or something of the sort. You can tell how smart the pony is by the knot with which he's tied to the hitch rack. And you go down a hitch rack and you'll see if there's five or six knots in display. Well, the most complicated knot will tell you that you have come close to the enterprising pony. But if there's a pony simply standing there, untied, and he's still standing there, you actually have come to the enterprising pony. He can untie any knot that any rider could tie him to the hitch rack with. See? The horses then have an intelligence test at any time, you see. It's what knot can they untie. And the enterprising pony can untie all of them, and it's usually got enough sense just to hang around anyhow. They make babies out of them. They practically live in the hut. They're quite rare. I'd say probably less than 3-4% of the horse population are really enterprising ponies. Well, I don't know what percentage of the human race are enterprising ponies, but I don't know that there's any ceiling on brilliance. That's what's odd. I don't know, but what we aren't being very foolish to try to measure brilliance at all. Maybe people are at different levels of infinity of brightness. See, maybe people aren't all just as bright, one and another, as the next, you see. But maybe they're all have a different infinity of brightness. Could be, you see. But I know this. We keep raising people's IQ. And you think that's a finished sentence. It is. We keep raising people's IQ. We have already gone off the measurement charts with some people. And these measurement charts were supposed to register super plus ultra almost untestable genius. See? And the guy goes on off the top of it. He starts in at maybe 120 IQ, and after enough hours of processing, he goes off the top of this thing. What's going on here? Well, it just means that man wasn't as bright as man can be, that's all. Well, to what degree does the I don't know series of postulates, to what degree is this the determining influence of intelligence? And how native stately intelligence are all the Thetans, or relatively to one another in a native state? Well, I'm just going to leave that up to you to solve and settle and find out and suit yourselves about it. Entirely. But I will tell you that there's a second method, in addition to education, for handling this thing. And that happens to be just mocking up and improving one's ability to handle confusions and unknowingnesses by any process. As his ability to do this grows, his intelligence grows. It's as easy as that. The degree that he can tolerate confusions and not knowingnesses is more or less his intelligence. And that would be a very precise way to test somebody's intelligence if we really wanted a smart one. Don't give him arithmetic and things to recall in the society to measure his intelligence and observation for the very, very fine reason that you may be testing a Zulu who doesn't live in the same society as you and doesn't know how many wheels there should be on a motor car. And you'd say, well, he's stupid because he doesn't know there are four wheels on a motor car. I guess you don't know how many dew claws there are on a lion either. See? Comparable order of importance in the environment. So intelligence tests ought to measure tolerance of not knowingness. And if they could measure tolerance of confusion and not knowingness, then you would actually have something that would approximate the relative intelligence of people as they sit there being tested. Now, intelligence is stable unless monkeyed with by a Scientologist, at which moment it unstabilizes to the degree that it is no longer the same. It's very difficult for you to suppress an intelligence by releasing confusion upon the person. You could suppress his intelligence test because he wouldn't feel good that day. But you wouldn't suppress his intelligence. This is what's fantastic. And why we have a question on this subject: is there such a thing as native intelligence for each person? Why we speculate about this native state. Well, tolerance for confusion and tolerance for not knowingness would be all very well if we took the fact of not knownness and the fact of confusion and measured the individual's ability to be an effect. Now, I've been talking here and having a good time trying to get this straightened out. And what I'm going to say to you now is for the book. Write for the book. Tolerance for not knownness. Tolerance for confusion simply measures the degree that the individual is willing to be an effect of these things and is not an establishing factor with relationship to cause. We are not establishing his causative factor. Create, change, destroy is the cycle of action. And you start playing around with the create end of this, and you'll always make more advance than if you handle the destroy end of it. You see, you just more or less make it a principle, a rough rule of thumb to handle the create side of it, and you will always be handling more or less the causative side of the pre-clear. And he's had an awful lot of practice in being an effect. You'd certainly better make him because every now and then. So the state of the thetan really doesn't much improve if we simply increase his tolerance. That says, how well can you be an effect, which is the oldest game in the universe. See, it's just a game. How well can you be an effect? You stand up there, I'll shoot you, and we'll find out how much it takes to kill you. You can imagine a couple of thetans playing this game early in the business. All right. Quite interesting here that there is a creative process which improves at once one's tolerance of not knowingness and one's tolerance of confusion, which is only solid not knowingness, and reestablishes the causative aspect of the thetan. You want to know how much not knowingness this fellow's willing to create. Not as a straight wire process, but as an object spotting process. Person and object spotting process. You want to know how much he can feel he can create not knowingness. Now let's look at this very hastily. Native state, knows all. First postulate, doesn't know. Second postulate, no. Third postulate, forget, which is not ising knownness about something. Fourth postulate, remember, which is the alter isness of the not isness. In other words, Thetan's wisdom is coned down and narrowed down to the degree that he is able to say he doesn't know. And when he sets this on automatic, he can then be subjected to such things as intelligence tests. See, he says it himself as a self-created item. And then it turns around and goes on automatic after a while. And now, and only now, can the individual be swamped with confusion. A man doesn't much fear that which he creates. It's an unfortunate fact that the U.S. is the most able manufacturer of atomic bombs. Here we have, then, another method of doing this. And just to keep everybody from getting tangled up and confused as they did before, although before I stated that it was a first postulate, that it was a consideration made by the individual, we have another process called Waterloo Station. Because some of these pre-clears have got to meet their Waterloos. That's the end of that. And the way you phrase this is to interject into the command the word most closely associated with ability, in English, can. Tell me something, the command would be, tell me something you can, space, not hyphen, know about that person. Could also be, if you had to translate for him, quote, tell me something you can, don't know about that person. You can don't know about him. Can, don't know. You got it now?
Mm-hmm. You want him to make a new postulate.
That's what you want him to do.
If you don't do that, you unsettle the not knowingness in his bank and make him more confused.
See? I just told you a lot of dissertation here about these masses of confusion ready to descend on your preclear's head if they got excited and re-stimulated, and if you start telling him, tell me something now you don't know about that person, the individual starts to pick his bank clean. He starts to tell you things that he doesn't know about women, and he doesn't know about men, and these are all aberrations, and he's very anxious to pull these out of the bank, but all of a sudden, the bank starts going, whir, 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 zoom, zoom, zoom. Got it? Now, this was originally given to the HAA class at the academy to establish which of these two things was best, not know or don't know, and they got into a tremendous argument, which they have finally, just now, settled. Only they didn't come up with the answer. They came up with not know. And that is not the answer. And the command which they finally tailor-made on the thing was not know something about that person. Well, it still translates. But Scientology is the science of ability, and when we depart from the field of ability, we depart into trouble. So we put the word can in there. We don't care how clumsy it is, how ungrammatical it is. It certainly communicates. Acquire the ability, please, says the auditing command, of don't knowing something. Or of not knowing something. And when you have your pre-clear once more in control of this, the first thing he knows how to do is to forget. At will. And if it's all present time, and time is a postulate, how the hell does he keep himself straight on the time track unless he is in control of his forgetters? How can he possibly have time if he cannot control that factor? Right? So time must be a series of I forget everything but this instant. I forget everything but this instant. I forget everything. See, it's an I not know everything but this instant on the higher echelon. I not know everything but this instant. I not know everything but this instant. Maybe all incidents and instants are all still there. Hideous thought. Maybe they're all there in live form. Maybe they're still thick with mass, weight, velocity. Maybe every moment of the track is present. Certainly every moment of the bank is present. And when an individual no longer has the ability to not know on a postulate basis, then he, oddly enough, gets jammed time. If he compulsively has to know everything and he never not knows anything, then his time track will jam. And you get these black stacked cases that are evidently in groupers. And that's the highest order of grouper. Follow me? So what you're trying to do is get the pre-clear to look at a person and exert this ability to actually feel that he can unknow, don't know, or not know something about that person, some specific item. Oh, I could not know that that person's carrying an umbrella. Be perfectly safe, he feels, to not know that the woman is carrying an umbrella. Get the idea? Now, the umbrella doesn't disappear. He can still see the umbrella. He's just expressed his willingness to make that postulate. And after he's been willing to make a postulate for a while, he will do this peculiar thing. He will say, I'm perfectly willing to not know that woman, and he can see her or not see her at will. He can look straight through her or look straight at her. That isn't the end of process particularly, but it's a phenomenon that turns up. And of course, we ask the reverse. What could that woman not know about you? Could, as the action ability word there. Tell me something that woman could or can not know about you. Would be the reverse. Come in. We got this straight now?
Yes.
Well, that's the way it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.